coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It's Thursday, January 9th, 2020. I want to say 2019. Again, you do that too. Don't get on me about that. A lot of things, a lot of news, a lot of things going on. How is the blowback looking, obviously, for the Virginia legislature and the governor? How's that shaping up? That's a question I've got. We are all Virginians. We are all, every other state that is attempting to model after that, expect blowback. Yesterday's program addressed that. I think it addressed that rather well. Ukraine is suspecting, and with good reason, that Iran obviously shot down their airliner. And of course, President Trump, he came out blasting Nancy Pelosi about this war powers resolution, which is a Democratic fraud, which I believe that to be. She's a Democratic fraud. She's a communist fraud. I mean, how's San Francisco? You know, how's that for a haven of delight there? Remember, too, speaking of Iran, going back just a little bit, you know, Hillary Clinton had said that she would, and I quote, totally obliterate Iran. Just saying. All right. So a lot of things going on right now. Oh, and if you go to HagmanReport.com, there you'll find a picture of none other than William Jefferson Clinton with Ghislaine Maxwell standing on the steps of the Lolita Express, linking to an article to The Sun. Interesting story there. All right. I got a great program lined up for you. Before I get into the program, I want to tell you, HagmanStore.com. HagmanStore.com. Folks, look at this. If you would like a cup of strong but smooth, velvety smooth cup of coffee, HagmanStore.com, click on the coffee. There you will find three blends of coffee, Detective Choice, Revolution, and Patriot Blend. Three types, whole bean, ground, and K-Cup. They all make for a great cup of coffee. I prefer a French press, but again, you can just smell with a Detective Choice, you can smell the blend of beans and a hint of just an ever-present hint of cocoa and cherry blossoms in the air from that. Very smooth, hyper-caffeinated, the Detective's blend is. The other two are just regular caffeine. The hyper-caffeinated Detective blends of, or Detective Choice, of course, is for those long interrogations, long stakeouts, and, you know, troublesome cases. Or just if you're a mom or a dad. All right. HagmanStore.com. HagmanStore.com. Great show lineup for you today. Steve Quayle, SteveQuayle.com. Daniel Holdings. Daniel Holdings. I gotta tell you what a writer he is. And Steve and Daniel have got a lot of things to talk about. All of the applicable links that we'll be talking about will be in the program description box at HagmanReportLive.com. That's HagmanReportLive.com. Please bookmark that site as well as HagmanReport.com. And also, if you don't mind in closing, please follow us on YouTube or subscribe to our channel on YouTube. That's the official Hagman Report. I mean, look, folks, we're playing with the algorithms or fighting back, pushing back against censorship. So we ask you to do that, even though it seems counterintuitive as we are autonomous, but it does help our visibility out there. And also subscribe to us by way of Spreaker, iTunes, whatever your platform is. All right. With that, let me bring on Steve Quayle from SteveQuayle.com to get this rolling. Steve, how are you, brother?
I'm doing good, Doug. And if there's ever a time to be talking about the midnight hour and judgment that is in the world, it's today. And Daniel Holdings and I are going to talk about the lateness of the hour that the headlines are unfolding pretty much, Doug, minute by minute. So as you probably know, I quit writing, and the last thing I wrote, and I leave it at this, Jesus, the premise, the promise. I want to get into hope, because I got to tell you, a lot of God's people, including moi, loses hope sometimes when you see just how evil flourishes, evil prospers, but there is an end to evil. So as Daniel talked to me, I don't know now what, 8 months ago, about doing an interview on basically Midnight Strikes, Judgment Unleashed, I said, well, you can just, if I can talk, fine. And so that's where we're at today. So, you know, Doug, thank you for having us on. And Daniel, I want you, if you wouldn't mind, to share with the people where we're at today, because when the book goes to the printer, and by the grace of God, I think it goes in the next 2 weeks, we're not taking orders for it until it's at the printer. I learned my lesson the hard way. Thank you all for your patience on Distant Thunders. But the point is that I don't think there's ever been a more prescient, more timely, more important piece written, because again, when Daniel started his writing career, he was taking stuff in the future that was fiction, but he was using the vision that God gave him. So in essence, you've got two visionaries. One's, you know, a Dr. Factoid, and Daniel put his writings initially into fiction. So I want people to understand something. It's just like the Lord to bring two people together that have the same calling, the same passion. And Daniel Holding shares the same passion I do for Jesus. Daniel, go ahead and share and take it where the Lord leads you, but take it and share where we're at now in your opinion.
Well, Steve, thank you so much, brother. It's good to be with you. Doug, it's good to be with you. Before I get into that, you know, I want to comment on your copy. It seems to me that your copy is actually designed after Doug Hagman.
It is.
First of all, hyper-caffeinated. I want to put an exclamation point. Hyper-caffeinated. And then it's, you said it was strong but smooth. Steve, that sounds like Doug Hagman to me.
It is a personality blend. There you go, Doug.
And wow.
Personality. A personality blend.
I think you need to repackage that, Doug. Personality blend. Doug's personality blend.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you for that. You know what? Remind me. Do you drink coffee, Dan?
Oh yeah,
okay. I'm gonna ship you out some. Just
I appreciate right. Listen, well, you know, here's the crazy thing. As Steve and you and I were talking last night about the book, there was something we were going over, and yes, audience, it is getting down to the wire. Steve is absolutely correct. We haven't wanted to take orders until I got it done. And there, if you've never written a book, there are tons of things to do when you're writing a book. And I, you know, this particular book, more than any of my other books, I have tried to be really, really sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying because of the lateness of the hour. And we're going to talk about the lateness of the hour. So as an example, I would start a chapter thinking that I had 2 or 3 chapters left and the Lord would actually give me more stuff than would fill in one chapter. So what I've had to do is to split a chapter and so on and so forth. So we are getting right down to there, and Steve's been so patient with me in this process. But, you know, it is amazing to me, Steve, as I'm talking to you and trying to clarify the things that you've said and trying to combine them with the things that I've said and going over the word and going over the news, how in fact, this is, as you said, prescient. It's minute by minute. The things that are going on in the world today, audience, and I would say this, and this is not about selling books. This is for your information edification, if you will. All the things that are in the news today are in that book, and it blows me away because as I get done writing them or as I'm in the process of writing them, something happens in the news. As an example, Steve, we were talking, that is, I was actually working on the chapter talking about earthquakes, mega earthquakes, great earthquakes, and the various seismic threats and volcanic threats all over all over the world, I should say. And, of course, you're doing the movie that you're doing now, Cascadia. It's in its final stages of getting done, hopefully. But the Lord actually gave me a vision of a massive I didn't even know what to call it until you told me what it was. A massive, what's it called?
A tsunami?
No. A full margin rupture. That's
okay. Right. Full margin rupture.
Right. I actually saw that 10 years ago and I actually put it in my books. Now, again, if you want those books as a precursor to this book, it's DanielHoldings.com or CooperChronicles.com is a deal for you. You can go there and take a look at it. But the point is that stuff was in those books way back then. And so here comes, I've known Steve for quite a while, but Steve and I start talking and he starts doing this movie about Cascadia. And I discovered that it's just not something that the Lord showed me. It's actually a real thing that is scientifically proven going to happen. So fast forward to just last week. I'm finishing up this chapter on earthquakes, mega threats, earthquakes, and I'm going through the various threats throughout the United States because we live here, right? So I'm going through the various threats of the United States. And one of the threats that I talked about with Steve's help, obviously, was Puerto Rico. And we talked about, Steve, that trench off of Puerto Rico and the extreme amount of earthquakes that have been occurring there that the USGS and the US government is not talking about. And lo and behold, we had an earthquake or earthquakes hit the island just a couple of days ago. And Steve, those weren't just little earthquakes, were they?
No, they were not. And it's increasing. And this is the thing that nobody wants to talk about, Doug, because we've talked about in the big island of Hawaii, a couple thousand miles from the West Coast, what's called the Hilna, H-I-L-N-A slump, which means that basically the whole part of the southern part or the southwestern part of the island breaks off, goes into the ocean, displaces that water, and there you've got your tidal wave or the energy hitting the West Coast. The same thing is true of Puerto Rico. And what's interesting about Puerto Rico, it's a second deepest point in the ocean. It is the primary depth in the Pacific Ocean. So when you look at Puerto Rico and they're having all of these, if you will, not many clusters, but I would use a word focused. And when, different people, Doug, and obviously Daniel knows some of them, not by name, but just by reference, that are talking about what's really going on, you come to the conclusion that the primary directive of all agencies, of all control, of all enforcement is the death of untold millions, and on a global scale, billions. And what makes anybody think that given the mainstream murderers, in my opinion, MSM, that anybody is ever going to hear the truth except they cry out for the truth? God gives them the truth. And Doug, it's not your truth. It's not my truth. It's not Daniel's truth. It's biblical truth. So Puerto Rico is a big deal. And pun intended, I think it's 27,000, so many hundred feet deep. And this is really interesting because it's the abyss. There are, I think, 11 or 12 deep trench, ocean trenches. But the abyss is where Jesus sentenced the demons that came out of the Gadarene demoniac. They weren't happy. They ran into the pigs and then the pigs jumped into the water. Pigs go, we don't want anything to do with those pigs. Oh, excuse me. We don't want anything to do with those, demons. And then they went into the abyss. The thing, the word abyss literally means the deep, the deepest deep. So as Daniel's writing this and we're talking on the phone, and again, Doug, the thing that's phenomenal is, and I don't know if I knew you 10 years ago. I met you when you asked me if you could use me as a character in one of your books. And I thought, well, I'm a character, but I don't know if I'm a character for a book. And that's when Daniel and I met. But the fact that we have, just like Tom Horn and Stargates and other stuff have been on, he's been writing about this stuff and people will only accept fiction. Hollywood lives on this premise until the reality is manifest and you can't deny it any longer. Continue, Daniel.
Well, and Steve, that's really the point. And audience, this is what you really need to understand, okay? Steve Quayle talks and he mentions Jesus and you think he's being religious, okay? Doug Hagman mentions the Lord and you think he's being religious. And so, because you've tuned into the show and you may be thinking about, the impeachment or the potential of a World War III and Iran and other political issues, you may want to turn off mentally, if not physically, turn off, because we're talking about religious stuff, okay? This is what you need to understand. Excuse me. Midnight Strikes is based in fact, physical fact. Yes, we go back and we reference the Bible for a biblical narrative, right? But the scientific facts or the historical facts are right there in the book. And this is really important because one of the things that, and look, I'm not that smart, okay? It's not, you know, Daniel Holdings is so smart, so he put this all together and it really makes sense. No, right? This is the Lord's message to us. It is a final warning. Understand what I'm saying, okay?
Amen.
More time. I have said in the book I wrote in the preface, I wrote that I doubted that there would be time enough to write enough, that there's never been a book like this before, and that there'd never, that I didn't think there would be time enough to write another book like it again. I wasn't kidding. This is not marketing. This is not some sort of, you know, hyping of a text. It's not that at all. It's the facts. Things are progressing so quickly, Stephen, Doug, that, you know,
amen,
people like us that pay attention to stuff like this, Steve, we can't even keep up, can we?
Well, no. And here's the thing. And, Doug, you know this, that people used to be satisfied with newsletters. You and I started one at the, you know, after 9/11, the HQ Intel alert. But the point is that even I know from Daniel and Doug, from the people that come to my website, they're tuning into it or, you know, whatever, bringing it up, watching it literally hour by hour because, you know, as the best of my ability, I've tried to keep it updated even through the nights and even through the midnight hour. But the point that it is getting is that I simply can't keep up with it. I want to reiterate something. I do not believe that, and I'm with Daniel on this, I don't believe there's more time after this. I think with this book, for those of you who teach Bible studies, we are Bible-based, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, looking for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ authors. And I've been on talk radio for however many years. But the point is that we're laying it out so critical. And the best part of it is that I'm on record, Doug, and you know this, and Daniel, you know this. I'm on record on all this stuff that just basically people say, if I remind them of saying it, then they're saying I'm narcissistic. And this is a point. No matter what God warns his people about, they seem to have only one focus. That's the messenger and not the message. Would you agree with that, Daniel?
I'd absolutely agree with that, and that's part of the reason why I'm addressing this issue now, audience, because you need to understand it's not us, right? These things that the Lord showed Steve, you know, years ago, and he's reminding of them now, and I'm writing them in this book, and the conversations that we have, and the deep research that is going into the book, and the various points that are made, the various chapters, the various issues that are covered in the book. That's not us, okay? Now, let me clarify, okay? It's not like an automatic writing thing where we just are taken over. No. This is the Ruach HaKodesh, the very breath of God. We call it the Holy Spirit, leading God's people in such a way to give the people his warning. It ain't us. And you really need to understand this. So, but again, I don't want to make you think, audience, that this is about religious stuff, because frankly, it's not. These are just facts. And as you see this mosaic put together, you see I can't even tell you the kind of things that are in this book. We start off with the economy and talking about just plain stuff, the weather that's affected crop production, the food supply chain that is going to be choked off beginning this year because of various issues. And those are factual issues. Those issues were in the news. So we started off with that, and then we moved to another issue. Then we moved, and then we ended up in civil war and talked about, took two chapters to talk about civil war. And all those things that are playing out on the, and I heard you talking in your monologue, Doug, about Pelosi and the Democrats and what, audience, you need to understand something. Yes, those people are crazy. They're not good. They're bad, whatever. But it's political theater, because all of that stuff is to distract you from this stuff. Because I want to tell you something, audience. And if I should be the guy on the corner with a sandwich sign that says, the end is near. I feel like that sometimes. But you have to understand all of this stuff is happening now. I'm not talking about the political stuff. I'm talking about the earthquakes. I'm talking about the weird anomalies. We're going to talk a little bit about that. I'm talking about Civil War. I'm talking about World War III. All that stuff is in the book, and it's happening right now. And that's what we have to understand. That's what we have to help them to understand, Steve, because if we're not careful, they're going to think it's just another religious book, right?
Daniel, if I can ask this, is this book not like the contemporaneous download of all of those events through the lens of Steve's, website and mind, if you will? Isn't that the way it's written?
It is written like that. Steven, I love your brother, but you understand what I mean because I know you're right. But it's organized, Doug.
This is not Steve on ADD, hypersonic. This is not hypersonic ADD, Doug. And it would take somebody like Daniel. Number one, I couldn't have written the stuff the way Daniel has drawn it out of me. And I don't believe that God had anybody else for to write this, if you will, treatise of the end time. By the way, Daniel, if you were the guy with a sandwich shop board out there saying the end is near, mine would be saying, Doug, my sandwich board would say, the end is here, don't be a rear, okay? The end is here, don't be a rear, as in end, as in donkey.
And end is not a period necessarily. It that period could be a line, a finite line. Okay, just clearing that up. Go ahead, sir.
So again, I think the thing is that when Daniel wrote as a fictional writer based on the visions that the Lord has said, and let me share something with everybody. We both know the thing even Daniel's wife was saying the other day, if I might just share this, she was taking words and sharing with Daniel words I didn't know she spoke, and I spoke them after her. Is that not right? You know, I mean, so here's the deal. There's only one conductor. That is the Holy Spirit. There is only one passion to make Jesus known. Everybody's looking for answers. We have the answer. Everybody wants to know what the future holds. We're telling him, because the Bible says, behold, I am the Lord thy God, declaring the end at the beginning. That's why Jesus saved the best wine for last. And by the way, I don't believe it was grape juice, just FYI to everybody, because they knew the difference between crummy wine and they knew the difference between good wine. Unfortunately, I don't believe that people have a relationship that is vital, transformative. And here's the deal. When we, in this book, what, and I think this is interesting, Doug, Daniel was able to draw stuff out of me, and I shared with him stuff that no one else, and it's not because Daniel knows all the secrets. I'm very careful to only release what God tells me to release at the time. But I told Daniel, and I think, Daniel, you responded. Please respond. I said, Daniel, it's time. Go ahead, brother.
Well, you know, when we talk about it being time, right, I want to address something. Because one of the things, as an example, Doug, you were asking me how this book is put together. So there are specific things that the Lord showed Steve, and those things are bullet pointed in the book. There's like, I don't know, Steve, I don't know what I told you. There's like 30 things that the Lord has showed him. And he saw those things back when he first met the Lord. He saw this panoramic of mankind's future. And then he forgot about those things, or many of them anyway. And the Lord told him, I'm going to remind you about those as the time is near so that you can warn the people. And I'm paraphrasing. So that's what he's done. He's reminded Steve about these things. And that's how this project actually got off the ground. I was like, he was telling me stuff. I said, wait a minute, Steve, how can you write, not write another book when the Lord just told you that? You got to tell the people this. And so that's how we came up with this idea of I would write the book based upon the things that he saw. But those things that he saw, Doug, are a jumping off point for a broader discussion and broader research on the various subjects. As an example, that whole issue about how we get on the subject of Puerto Rico, as an example, Steve, and I don't have it right here in front of me, but one of the things that Steve saw was that there would be great earthquakes all over the earth with giant tsunamis, right? And so that was kind of am I correct, Steve? Was that the thing that the Lord showed you?
Well, right. And along with that, you know, literally, Doug, and this is what I think people need to know, is that's why I make the claim that ancient civilizations will rise from the depths of the ocean, from the overgrown forests of the jungles, and from the sands that have covered the desert. For instance, in obviously Saudi Arabia and the Gobi Desert. It's interesting. We talk about the sands of time, but that's what God showed me was, and the best word is upheaval and a tumultuous time where there'll be no denying what was, and what was will be used by God as a billboard to show what will be our fate lest we repent. And let me just share something. We're not only, repeating history, because King Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. That which was will be again. But we're making the same that if you want to know from all of my research, everybody, and everything I've ever researched and on ancient and again, pre-Adamic era, you know, that's why it's so critical. The church committed intellectual suicide when they allowed theologians to rewrite the book of Genesis in their image and likeness, not realizing that the whole Genesis 6 narrative was given by God to Moses, and it explains everything from advanced technology, the great cities, the megalithic cities. It explains the rebellion in heaven. It explains how the earth is created without void, and it's chaotic in Genesis 1:1, 1:2. But then you go to Isaiah, and it says the Lord did not create it that way, but it became that way. So here's what I'm saying. The same judgment that was upon the pre-Adamic earth is now upon us. The same chaos reigns. The same violence reigns. The same bloodlust, cannibalism, infant murder, infant slaughter. I even got an email today from Celeste just a while ago, and she said she's been notified that there is a group of cannibals on the West Coast that watch every posting she does on cannibalism, and they're openly acknowledging it. And listen, it used to be just the Christians, well, at least the jellyfishians, who were the backbiters. Now, you know, enough of that backbiting. We want you yummy, yummy, yummy. I got, you know, a believer in my tummy. And I'm not trying to be facetious. Maybe it's a poor attempt at humor, but the thing that's critical is this. The context of what's going to happen with the tsunamis. There are places on this planet right now, they're going to disappear. One of the reasons Puerto Rico is so silenced is because the ramifications, if half that island were to basically slough off, break off, you're talking about with the average Florida elevation, you're talking about Florida is basically no longer the sunshine state, it'll be the submarine state. And again, if you look at everything that's in Florida, now, can I tell people to move out of Florida? No, but I will say this. My very first vision I had after seeing Jesus face to face, being given the panorama of history, was the Isthmus of Florida gone. And I've said that, you know, 25 years ago. So again, I think it's important that, Daniel, this really is, I would say, I'm trying to think, future chronicles written in the present. Go ahead.
Well, so, Doug, getting back to your question about how the book is put together, this is a perfect example. There is so much stuff in Steve's head, right? How do you get that stuff out of his head in an order that people can understand? See, that's the challenge here.
Drugs?
So what the Lord showed him was the paragraph, right? The paragraph was what he said about great upheaval causing tsunamis all over the earth. So that's the, and that, then that leads to a broader discussion, not unlike what we just heard from him, where he and I bounce off after ideas, off of one another. And then I do some deep research and begin to back up those points because there's the Lord's points but not ours, right? He's leading us down this road so that we can see where he's going. And then I put them in the book. That's how it works out. And so, within the book itself, there's various chapters on various issues. And then the various parts of the visions that Steve has had are in those chapters as bullet points so that you can follow along specifically what the Lord has shown him and told him. And then we can see the facts that back up the audience. This is really important. This is where you have to hear me. The facts that back up what the Lord showed him. It's not a religious book. It's a factual book. It just happens. Now wait for it. It just happens to go along the line of the biblical narrative, prophecy. I'm sorry. If you're not a believer and you don't like that, I can't help it. That's the truth. Obviously, if you're listening to Doug Hagman, you want the truth. That is the truth. And because of that, there are broader implications, Steve and Doug, to what is about to happen. It is true that we are looking at great earthquakes. It is true that we are looking at great tsunamis. It is true that we're looking at a great economic collapse like we've never seen. It is true that we are going to face civil war in this country, that we are going to have World War III, and all the other things in this book that the Lord showed, Steve. All those things are true. But what is equally true, audience, is that if this, in fact, is following the biblical narrative, and you don't know the Lord, you don't walk with him, and you don't accept him, you're forced to make a decision. Because if those things are true, all the other stuff that he said in Revelation at the end of the book are also true. Are they not, Steve?
Right, and I think that that's the critical thing. And I tell everybody, you know this, Daniel, that even the people like the ancient aliens people and those that are trying to come across, by the way, we deal with the subject matter of the great deception that the aliens are our creator. But the point is they always quote the book of Revelation. Let me tell you, you can never use the book of Revelation without its descriptive time frame. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God the Father gave to his disciple John on the island of Patmos. The opening of the seals, the vials, everything, the thunders. And by the way, Celeste's book on the seven thunders, Doug, I think it's a hallmark watershed book.
Absolutely, by the way. Absolutely.
I told her, and please, this is not, I told her that it's only in the context of the end, which I believe we're at. I don't know how long that is, but it's years. It's not, you know, hundreds of years or decades, in my opinion, that only at this time frame in history could that book be given. I'll make it real easy, too. If you just start doing a basic search on the thunders of God, it's always related to two things, his literal presence and his judgment. And in essence, this is what it, why, because, you know, God is so gracious to us and he doesn't want any to perish. But again, the ancient aliens people, they'll quote the book of Revelation. They'll quote the book of Daniel. They're always talking about Ezekiel's wheel within a wheel, you know, and it's not the wheel of fortune, by the way. But the point is that what this book differs in is there's stuff that I've never told people, and you couldn't know it if I didn't tell it. And I have provided Daniel with the evidentiary backup of a lot of this stuff. And when I say that, it's, again, if you won't receive the truth, then if I told you it was such and such a general or the assistant director of the CIA from 20 years ago or the former head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff or those things, then you just accuse me of making this stuff up. But the point is that the evidence speaks for itself. What's a Latin term for that? Res ipsa loquitur. And nowadays, Doug, evidence, and you've been in enough courts where you're supplying key evidence to determine the outcome. That doesn't mean a thing anymore, does it, Doug Hagman?
Boy, don't get me started, but you're right. No, you're exactly right. Don't get me started.
Well, here's the deal. We're experiencing now in the heavens, one of the things that we're dealing with then too is the coming deception, and we're talking about the war in the heavens. The average person has no idea where we're at. Donald Trump announcing Space Force, geez, he's only about, probably 6 decades late, maybe 7. We've had it for a long time. And the weapons that are on our space-based weapons platforms are all pointed out. And I want you to know something. Even, forgive me, but someone contacted me, someone we all know, I won't use his name, and said that his expert in a certain intelligence agency, still active, said, let me tell you this. All these asteroids are not random. Well, let me share this. If we start talking about, and we do cover it in the book, the way it's going to work out, Daniel, is, and watch this happen, Doug, it's going to happen. So as the book is released, the events will transpire concurrently and simultaneously. And then people either have to say, well, how did these guys know that? Okay. I contrary to my critics, I don't get a federal paycheck or a pension. I'm just glad that I'm still alive by the grace of God and everybody's intercession on behalf. Daniel doesn't work for them. So, Doug, now we live in a propaganda world, but they will spin the aliens that they're here to help us. They're going to save us from ourselves. The constant recurring theme of Hollywood is mankind's doomed because we're going to destroy ourselves. Well, sin, Jesus said, if he didn't shorten the days for the elect's sake, that's those who are bought by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through faith in him, if he didn't shorten the days, there'd be no flesh left alive. And the transhumanists and all those who want to live forever, the billionaires headed to Mars, everything that they're doing, they don't want to stay human. And I'm telling you what, I'm perfectly glad to be a human in the process of redeem. God did redeem me. I'm still, not a finished work.
And Steve,
go ahead.
Let me ask you this. Is it not the reason that these human beings like Bill Gates and others, they want to live forever. It's not because they enjoy the earthly experience necessarily, but they want to ultimately avoid what they know to be the judgment of God Almighty. Is that not one of their motives?
Yes, Dan, go ahead and address that.
That's absolutely the motive, Doug.
Okay.
Listen, if you burnt the barn down and you had to face your father and he knows that you were playing with matches and you should have been playing with matches and he told you not to, he's caught you a couple times, he took you behind the woodshed and, you paid the price, but yet you didn't listen. You went back and you burnt the barn down, right? In spite of what he said, now you got to face him. You wouldn't want to face him.
That's true.
I wouldn't want to face him.
No. Yeah.
These guys don't want to face him, right? They have been warned like you and I have been warned, right? God is not a respecter of persons, right? He gives us all the same information. They've chosen to ignore that warning and to live a life however they want to. I mean, you're wrong. I mean, Bill Gates got to be brilliant. I mean, he's Bill Gates and, made Microsoft and all those other tech guys, but they believe that they can live life on their own terms. They are about to find out that life is finite and you can try to put your soul, put your essence in a computer. It doesn't work, right? The Bible says that it's appointed for one man once to die and then comes judgment. All of us are going to have to stand before the Lord to talk about that barn burning, right? Are we going to do that with his grace that's been given to us? Or are we going to do that in rebellion? See, there's the difference. All of us are going to be taken behind the woodshed. And this is, if I could say it like this, what's coming upon the earth is a woodshed moment. I hate to tell you, right? This is what's about to happen. We are about to get a strong dose of discipline. And look, is God loving? Absolutely. John says that God is love. He is absolutely love. But he's also righteous, and he's also holy. And he says to his people, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Right? So when we ignore him, when we ignore the warnings not to burn down the barn, we have to face him. And that's exactly what these guys are going to do. You know, transhumanism aside, there's plenty of other things where people will live life, try to live life on their own terms. And you know, transhumanism is just one other means to do that. By the way, Steve, that book that you did on, that addressed this issue, Terminated, it had a whole section on transhumanism, an awesome book. But the point is that all of us have a little bit of rebellion in us anyway, right? Those of us that choose to walk with the Lord, that will get on our face before Him, and that repent, choose to subdue that rebellion. But it's inborn. It's inborn in us. It came from the Garden of Eden, from Adam and Eve since the fall. We have all had rebellion in our lives. And those of us that choose to walk with the Lord, and you don't have to be a Steve Quayle, Doug Hagman, Daniel Holdings to do it. You submit your life to the Lord, and He will change you. The difference is those people don't want to be changed by God. They want to be changed by technology. Well, they're going to reap the benefits of that technology. The Bible says you reap what you sow. They're going to find out just exactly that that technology is not all it's cracked up to be. You know, but I want to address something, Steve, and it's really important because we're talking, you know, I've just addressed the people in the audience that aren't necessarily believers, and I've told you that, you know, there is something coming and you really need to evaluate your life. And if that's not what you got out of my comments, let me set the record straight. That's exactly what I mean. Now, but there are other people that are listening to the show today that are Christians, that are believers, but they don't actually think that they're going to have to go through any of this stuff because they have the spiritual bags packed and they're waiting for the rapture, right? Now, look, I'm here to tell you that I got saved after reading the late great Planet Earth, right? Hal Lindsey's book. You got saved by sitting, Steve, in a Hal Lindsey show. So it's not like I don't know about the rapture. I've read tons of stuff on end time stuff when I first got, and I told you the story, Steve. I might have told you before. Excuse me, Doug. But when I first got saved, I got saved in 83. And I consumed everything there was on the end times. And after about 6 months of this, I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, Daniel, what are you doing? I said, what, Lord? And He said, knock it off. He said, you need to put all that stuff away, get in My Word, and build a firm foundation of understanding My Word and having your life based upon My Word. And then when the time comes, when it's almost time, not unlike what the Lord told Steve, I will bring you back to these things. Well, that's exactly what happened. I started writing, you know, 10 years ago, and those books are a part of that. But the point is that we have all of this information that's out there, all of these books that tell us that, A, there's going to be a rapture, then, you know, the Gog Magog war is going to happen, is 3.5 years here, and the 1,247, whatever, you know. So we have all of this stuff that we have been told, okay? Audience, one of the things that you will understand when you read Midnight Strikes is that it's not playing out exactly like we've been told, is it, Steve?
No, it isn't. I think this is really important. This is why I call for a transformational encounter with Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, some of the things that are even being posted today on the website, we're talking about Romans 8:22-26. Let me just give a good example, Daniel. And this is coming from the King James. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Holy Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, when coming out of the Jesus movement, Daniel, a decade before you got saved, the thing that was impressive to me is everybody had two passions. They had the passion for the Lord Jesus Christ, and they wanted to share Him with everyone and anyone all over. You couldn't stop that I guess you would say, that gifted, and by the way, most of them got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Yes, they did speak in tongues. Yes, they did prophesy. Yes, they did all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I said this. when you say to the Holy Spirit, we don't need you or our gifts, we'll take it from here, that was basically the demise of the Jesus movement. When people thought that they could accomplish through a program, a paycheck, and public acceptance what only the Holy Spirit himself could give, that's power from upon high. And still, Daniel, as you know it, and Doug, this is something that God's people don't get. Sin isn't just like when I lose control of my tongue and have to repent, or see something I shouldn't have to repent. Sin is the power that drives us to do that. And the only way to get power over that sin, sin is a real force, something that didn't exist, but after Adam and Eve sinned, something that was brought into being, if you will, a genetic rebellion against everything that God is, everything he stood for, and everything that he wanted to present to his people. Look, he put us in paradise originally. The devil got us to poop in our own nest. Someone said, oh, that's not correct Christian theology. Well, look at it this way. Look at what's happening on the West Coast and in Midwest cities. Doug, this is true, and Daniel, I don't know if you know this, but I remember the first year on talk radio, I said this, the day will come in America where Americans will be drowning in their own defecant, okay? I remember it because it had alliteration. So why is this critical? Because you can't in this understand all of this. You can once Jesus begins, and you know, I love the parable, Doug, of the talents where a certain owner has all the different workers going to work for him, and the ones that came in the last hour got paid at the same as the ones who started in the beginning. And to apply that, those of you who are just coming to Jesus, even after this show, who have just come to Jesus, if your heart is to long for the wisdom of God, and 1 Corinthians says that Jesus is the wisdom of God, then you'll be brought up to speed. Some people don't think that's fair. I can tell you, I've watched 6-year-olds, I've watched 8-year-olds come with the word of God and power that you just sit there and your mouth drops open because they have a childlike faith. They love the Lord Jesus. So getting back to the book, I think, Daniel, you know, where we're at right now, and I want you to explain to people, if you would, and do we not cover in pretty much depth the leading deceptions of our time in the religious world, in the physical world, in the scientific world? And if Jesus' last words are, see that ye be not deceived, how is that not important? Go ahead.
Hey,
did we lose?
No, yeah. He's going to unmute. Can you unmute, Dan? Unmute. There we go.
Sorry, Steve's making sign language to me. I was hacking, so I didn't want you to hear. This is a great example of audience of how wonderful it is to actually work with Steve Quayle, because I was actually going to address this very issue. So one of the things that I think comes across in Midnight Strikes is this, that the way that we have been taught, and this is why I brought up Hal Lindsey and some of the other people that have produced all this prophetic material over the years, prophecy and written books about this. And again, this is not about selling books. This is about giving you all the truth. Because we have been giving the end times in this framework that is, and it's very neat. It's, okay, this happens and then this happens and this happens and there's time period and this happens and this happens and we all go to heaven and be happy with Jesus. Right. That's how it's been laid out. But the deception that is coming is, audience, I want you to understand me. The deception that is coming is absolute. It is absolute deception, and it is everywhere. It is proliferated in society. It is proliferated in your family. It is proliferated in entertainment. It is proliferated in science. It is proliferated even in the church. So this is what we need to understand. And Midnight Strikes, to Steve's point, actually addresses many of those things. He was just talking about the Great Deception. And if you've read any of my books, you know that I addressed this issue in my third book, Between the Veil, talks about the great deception. When we will actually see, and, okay, so here's why I get, what people, cause me to lose credit. They'll say, well, he's a nut, he's a tinfoil hat guy, right? Well, okay, so be it. So, but when aliens show up, and they're getting very close to showing up, when they show up and they wave at us and say, hey, we're your creators, and that is going to happen in the very near future, what are you going to do, Christian? What are you going to do? You have been told by all these other prophecy teachers that it will happen like this, like this, like this, and like this. And first of all, you're seeing these aliens and you're still here because the rapture didn't happen. Your spiritual bags have been packed and you're still here. And then secondly, you're looking at the awesome work of aliens. What are you going to believe? And then when the word of God is twisted, as it's already being twisted, I don't know, Doug, if you saw, but and I'm not bashing Baptists, this is just a fact. The Southern Baptist Convention just said that it was okay for homosexuals to be pastors, right? I don't know. Galatians 5, Steve, kind of tells me that that's not actually true. So the word is already being twisted. The truth is already being twisted. We have deception that's being dished out in various media outlets through the church and other places. And we as believers, as Christians, because we don't know our Bible, because we don't read it, because we don't take it for what it says, we fall for whatever lie that they want to dish out. This is the point. We're coming into a time when the deception is so rampant and it is so thick and it is so convincing that if you don't know your word, if you're not on your face before the Lord, if you're not walking with him daily, if you're not dying to yourself on a regular basis, excuse me, then you are going to be deceived. And you know, we are already in the middle of the great falling away, and, you know, that's documented in the book as well. Steve talked about that in Jesus, the Premise of the Promise. But we're already in the middle of that, but when aliens show up, what are you going to do? And, you know, there's not a lot, so let me clarify something. There's not a lot of discussion on aliens in the book, but it is addressed. Why? Because it's important to the time that we're walking into. You need to know what's happening. But there are other deceptions that are going on right now. And yeah, Steve, I was thinking about this. One of my favorite chapters in the book, remember a while back we were talking about the chapter where there were several different things that the Lord showed you. And we just dealt with all kinds of miscellaneous things, and you know, that were going on in the world. One of them was the Mandela effect. We talked about the Mandela effect, as a matter of fact, because it's a real thing, right? Whether you like it or not, it's happening, right? So we talked about these various things that are happening in the world, and it actually turned out to be one of my favorite chapters because it dealt with a whole litany of things. But the point is, audience, that if you don't walk with the Lord every day, consistently, minute by minute, talking to him talking to you, you know, making sure that you're living a life that he wants you to live, repenting on a regular basis, feeding on his word, right? Being that person that we're called to be with the fruit of the Spirit, listening to his voice, then you too, me too, you know, all of us would be deceived. So the point is, Steve, that the great deception is actually one part of many deceptions, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's like a hydra that mated with an octopus and then basically got into U.S. politics, and their tentacles and their snake-like serpentine headdress touches and bites everything it comes into contact. Now, there's a cartoon for you, Doug. The bottom, we'll call it the octopusian attack and the wussification of the American male. And here's the deal. There is nobody in the Old Testament or the New Testament that were wuss. And Coach Dave Dobmeier just put out a great article on that. What are we teaching our children? Well, you know, here's the thing. ladies and gentlemen, we have to, by the grace of God, give you such a hunger for the reality of the things of the living God, such a revelation. If we're talking about stuff that no man's covered, now, sure, everybody covers about Matthew 24, earthquakes and famines and stuff, but when we're telling you and talking about the things like trucking strikes and how fast the shelves empty, people look at Puerto Rico, Daniel, and they don't go, boy, that could be any town in America. They don't see that now. Let's say this, unsanitary practices lead to disease. Sure, they won't listen to Dr. Drew about it when he goes to and talks to the L.A. County. And what have they done, Doug? Put in about $1 billion in the homeless, and now there's twice as many, and none of their problems are solved. So, you know, here's the thing. When you're dealing with all of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, when you're dealing with that, you know, all we've got is, and let's say this, the four horsemen of the apocalypse are biblical. The four horses' rear ends of a pack of lies, and I would say you can just figure out who in the Democratic Party fits that, in my opinion, and also their Republican cohorts. It may be the Democrats that are the four horses, you know what's, of the a pack of lies, but it is the rhinos without spinos, the traitors that are riding the four horses. Does that make sense? So we've got basically eight entities that are going for the destruction. By the way, when somebody says, we will not have God on our platform, well, then I would say this, forget the shaking sand, put the words quicksand. Because look, here's the thing. The Bible says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When people say, oh, you sound so hateful because you're saying that you don't need to like this person like that. No, I'm not. God is a God of love. But he says he is angry with the sinner all the day long. God has a tolerance point where the tolerance point breaks. And Daniel, you know this. And Doug, I don't know what that is yet, but everything's building to it. It's just like, well, that's probably too, I was going to say, just like a pimple. We'll not go with that illustration.
Well,
just
I think I might have done that the other day, used that example, and it didn't turn out well.
Okay, yeah.
We're just a couple of minutes to the top of the hour, Steve. While we're here, Daniel, the name of the book, when it's going to be out?
It is Midnight Strikes, Judgment Unleashed, the Holdings and Quayle interviews, and it's really important to be out. You'll be able to order it at the beginning of February, February 1st, February 2nd, whatever.
You're the man. You're the man. And I'll tell you something. Bryce Cooper, Cooper Chronicles, DanielHoldings.net. You got to go there, as well as SteveQuayle.com. Folks, don't forget about the Branson conference that's coming up here. That's coming up quick, too. We have to talk about that as well at some point in time. But Daniel Holdings and Steve Quayle, I'm going to thank both of you for being on. Hang on for another hour. We're at the top of the hour network break. Stay right where you're at.
Mainstream media won't. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network. Thank you.
And welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmanReportLive.com. That's HagmanReportLive.com, where the videos are accessible and the audios. And HagmanReport.com. There you can find contributor articles. Kevin John Q. Public just dropped an article at HagmanReport.com. Before we get back to Steve and Daniel Holdings, DanielHoldings.net, or Daniel Holdings website will be down in the program description box at HagmanReportLive.com. And, of course, SteveQuayle.com as well, talking about a number of things, including but not limited to the upcoming book, which will be made available on for pre-order on February 1st. That link will be in the program description box as well. So just make sure you drop down there or you open up that program description box at Hagman Report Live. That's very important. Not on YouTube, not anywhere else, but Hagman Report Live. That's where you're going to find the information. Two things before we get back to Steve Quayle and Daniel Holdings. I just want to say thank you to all of you who are helping us support, or helping us stay on the air, supporting this broadcast. I, from the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you very much. It is not the corporate, occasional corporate sponsor. It is not the, it's nothing but you, the people who support us either by way of mail, PayPal, Patreon. Thank you. Thank you. You know, we're going through a really a rough time, and Steve Quayle is too. I'm going to tell you right now, and we all are. Daniel Holding, look, we're all going through a rough time. And the reason, at least in our case, you know, we are fighting people who want to take us down, take us off the air, and they're inflicting some pretty injurious wounds, financial wounds. I'll just leave it right there. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. And the second thing is, there are a lot of people out there who talk about fighting, boots on the ground, investigating and fighting child and human sex trafficking, human trafficking, human slavery. Now, there's a distinction between those terms there, an important distinction. But folks, you can help us help the organizations. For example, Russ Dizdar, his organization, Craig Sawyer, Vets for Child Rescue, the organizations that are down, that have boots on the ground, that are in the fight, not someone sitting on a couch, you know, with a laptop or an iPhone, just talking about the issue and regurgitating headlines. No, I'm talking about individuals and groups that are actually fighting this. And to fund, help fund those organizations in part, hey, Hagman Coffee, okay, that's a significant portion of the proceeds for our coffee goes to those organizations to help fight human and child trafficking, and child sex trafficking, and sexual abuse when you purchase Hagman Coffee. So what I'd like you to do is go to HagmanStore.com. That's HagmanStore.com. And there you can select your choice of coffee and select your grind, whether it's whole bean or ground coffee or K-cups. Our goal is from the roaster to your door in 4 days. That's our goal. Okay, so in most cases, we hit that, too. It's mega fresh, and the detective's choice is hyper-caffeinated. Smooth but velvety, like me, right, according to Daniel Holdings. Anyway, but having said all of that, just so delighted to have Steve Quayle and Daniel Holdings on with me today. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to turn it over to Steve Quayle right now. Steve?
Again, and ladies and gentlemen, this year's True Legends is selling out fast. We thought it would, you know, and we're encouraging you to take advantage of the special price for tickets, which goes off on the 15th of January. I think, what are we now, about the 9th?
Yes.
And yeah, I have to look at the calendar. Somebody was not happy with me. I didn't call him back for 6 weeks. I said I'd call him back tomorrow, and I said, well, now you know the realm of time and space I live in. By the way, I apologize. But this year's True Legends Conference is so germane to what's happening. Just as the UFO revelations came out from the Navy, and I made this statement on the 2018 Branson Conference that, you know, life as we knew it would never be the same. The word normal wouldn't exist. And that as we announced the answering the alien question, I made the same statement, that things are going to happen in the headlines to illustrate it. And obviously, you know, answering the alien question, the Navy, all the revelations, and those who were there and saw my presentation, I gave about 1% of what I know, and it couldn't have been distributed or shared without the talent and the logical gifting of Daniel Holding. So, Daniel, I'm indebted to you. People said they loved it, and I said, well, I'll tell you who the credit goes to. But this year is, and it's you, and this year it's the True Legends. It's called Ancient Cataclysms and the Coming Catastrophes, the Pre-Adamic Era and the Return of the Days of Noah. This is so, pun intended, this is so time-sensitive and critical. When Tom Horn's writing about Wormwood, when you're talking about asteroids under intelligent design, and if you remember Star Trek, tractor beams, well, just as you can attract something, you can repel something, you can, just as you can overcome gravity with electrogravitics and specific laws of black physics are physics that are not known to the normal person. Well, we're going to be talking about all that stuff. We've got some amazing speakers. This year, obviously, we've got Russ Dizdar, we've got Gary Wayne, Celeste Sullum, L.A. Marzulli, Carl Tightrup is going to be there, and I've never had him before, but the guy is outstanding. Talk about a brilliant apologist who's not ashamed of Jesus. We're going to have Daniel Holdings. We'll have Derek Gilbert, and we'll have Dr. Michael Lake. I'm going to be there by the grace of God. And then Darren Geisinger and Bob Griswold on Sunday, instead of having the, what do you call that thing, round table, they're each going to take an hour and a half and talk about practical solutions to how to deal with what comes after. And the reason I see now, too, you know, Daniel and Doug, that it was moved up to July was because in September, October, things are going to get very, very dicey. The goal is this. The goal is to equip the saints. I want to announce something, too. Doug mentioned that he and I have been involved in a four-year-long lawsuit that has been sucking money out of our pockets. Literally, it is a pro se lawsuit. It is a ambiguous. It is a basically a, in my opinion, it is a total assault on the judicial system. I just talked to I was just praying today, and I felt, you know, and I'm going to share this with you. We need to raise a battle chest, and thank you, especially Brother Ed and others who have helped us, contributed to my sister in Arizona that gave the check. But we need to raise a lot of money. So this year, on Wednesday night, preceding Branson, we're going to have a private session. It's going to be me and Doug. Not even our wives were invited, just the people. And we're going to charge, you know, I guess you would call it, for that privilege, because all the money goes to our legal defense fund, okay? And ladies and gentlemen, anybody can sue you for anything. And so I'll be announcing that, but if you want, we did it last year for Doug. I promise you a better venue this year. It's going to be just a marvelous venue.
Yeah, things went sideways last year, and it was no fault of yours or anything, but I'll just say that it was not what we signed up for. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, and I share this. I always believe in the best, and I believe those of you who have stood with us financially and everything have always given your best. So, again, you can call it a private session, 90 minutes after we eat dinner and, you know, everything. Then I'll sit and answer the questions you want. There'll be two, what would you say, criteria. You cannot have your cell phones in there, and you cannot record. There's simply the reason being, is I've learned this, Doug's learned this, that not everyone who says they love you end up that way, like Jesus, okay? I'm not Jesus, contrary to the caricatures of me, but I've learned this. Those who say, we love you, man, on Friday are saying, you know, to hell with you on Sunday. People that we once considered friends have in the last 60 days turned against us. And trust me, it wears you out, dodging incoming all the time. So for those of you, and you can send me an email saying you'd like to be there, it's going to be by invitation only. It's going to be $1,250. We have room for 40 people. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what it costs to retain the constitutional attorneys that we've got going. And these guys are licensed before the Supreme Court. So that's how we're going to take it. You can't accuse Russ, me, and Doug of literal crimes, of things that are so horrific, and walk. We've had to be silent. We've lived up to our bargain and our end of it, being told by our attorneys starting 4 years ago, that we had to be careful what we say. Yet, you know, that hasn't been the case of the, I would call it the Cauldron crew, C-A-U-L-D-R-O-N crew, and no names being mentioned. But the thing that's important is this, is that I want, and listen, Doug, you know this, and Daniel, you know this. If the last thing I've ever written, and this isn't woe is me, I'm going to die, but if it's the last thing I've ever written, I'm grateful that Daniel took the time to draw out of me what I wouldn't place. The same thing is going to be for this. I figure people who have supported us to that level have a right to just have their questions asked if they've got that gnawing question. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'll put it up on Gen 6, but you can send either Doug or I an email saying, want to attend. That's the only way we know to do it, unless somebody wants to step up to the pump, because one of these guys, our battle chest to start it and to go for the throats is $100,000 retainer. They get $400 or $500 an hour, and that really doesn't buy you that much. But we're praying, and we'd like to ask you to pray with us that we will prevail. And again, you know, just keep us in prayer, because it takes its toll. What happened to Doug this year with the passing of Joe and all of the associated horrible stuff, all the slander. Russ is being slandered, like, you know, incessantly by YouTube nobodies. And they try and pick a fight with us. And if we respond to them, then they get audience that they wouldn't have otherwise. That's why we don't respond. And also, we were gagged early on by our lawyers. So this is a special dinner. We'll call it private session. And it is the Wednesday night of Branson, Thursday's registration. And then obviously everything starts Friday morning. So if you'd like to, you know, get in the battle with us, that is, again, by invitation only. And if, you know, we'll send you the specific details. It's going to be at the Chateau on the Lake. That is a place noted for its cuisine. Like I said, you're giving us of your time and also of your gifting to help us fight this battle. It will be the best, I promise. It will not be like last year. It was beyond our control last year. And I thank you for all being soldiers that were there. So I bless all of you in Jesus' name. So here's where we're
at. You know what, Steve, if I can interject one thing. You know what I've been finding, and this I think needs to be addressed at some point in the future. It doesn't have to be addressed now, but what I've been seeing right now is this far more organized attempt. Now, this is not related to anything really necessarily what you said. So those, you know, transcriptors out there, transcriptionists out there, stop it. This is just my observation. I am seeing the Christians being attacked. I mean, the true Christians. You've got this, pardon the expression, fringe Christianity or not true Christians attacking the real Christians or Christians. The divide is grown so much. And then you've got this litigation machine. Do you realize how many lawsuits there exist out there? I was just blown away. You think that Alex Jones is the only one taking incoming lawsuits. I mean, it seems like it's the Wild West of lawsuits out there. Based on internet, broadcasts. So I'm just saying, I've never seen anything like this before. In federal courts?
It's never been like this before, Doug. Never been like this before. And one of the things that I think, Daniel, I'll turn it right back to you. One of the things that we're aware of, and trust me, he has been working night and day, and we've been talking for hours and hours and hours. But this, the book is that critical, because it is. Midnight is striking. You know, we're telling you point blank, midnight is striking. And judgment is unleashed. And people that think Iran's going to go away with 3 missiles or 6 missiles or 9 missiles fired, they don't have a clue on the principality of Persia. They have no clue. So, again, the thing is that what you're stating, Doug, is the fact that the divide is happening. Multitudes in the valley decision for the day of the Lord is at hand. And people need to understand this. Nehemiah was rebuilding that which had been torn down through conquest. Christians need to be rebuilding their walls. And Daniel, I want to turn this right over to you now. And they need to be giving themselves a platform of faith, a platform of understanding. And as they're seeking God with all their heart, he'll give them the application of the amount of knowledge and the right things to say at the right time, because it's always easier for the Lord to quicken the scripture to you, especially when you've hidden it in your heart, because it's easier to deliver. Daniel, as you see, obviously you just heard me and you heard Doug talking about this, but does that reinforce your thoughts that the greatest betrayal and the greatest persecution of Christians is yet to come in America?
Well, you know, you actually addressed so many things in that dialogue between you two, and I want to jump in here. Because, yes, in Midnight Strikes, all of those things are covered, not specifically the lawsuit and stuff like that, but we talk about the gates of hell literally opening. So, okay, this is how most Christians are, right? We think, you know, spiritual things, right, that these demons will influence our lives, or they could try to kill us, or the case may be, but they're not really all that big of a deal. Folks, you need to understand that the gates of hell are literally opening. And that's not an exaggeration. You'll have to get the book to see why we say that. The point is that, because it's too long of a discussion to have here, the point is that you have the influence of a myriad, a legion of demons on people. And so there are people that call themselves Christians, right? I mean, I could call myself anything. I stand in the middle, especially these days, you know, I could stand in the middle of a garage and call myself a car. It doesn't make me a car, right? So the point is that you have people that go by this label of Christian, but they are influenced by the demonic, okay? Or you have people that don't want anything to do with Christians, and they're just influenced by the demonic. So the point is that you have this huge influx of demonic or evil entities in the world today, because midnight is striking, because the gates of hell are opening, and you have them wreaking havoc across the earth to well-meaning believers. And yes, Doug, I think you're absolutely right. You see this this huge, you know, surmounting legal claims by supposed Christians against other Christians, where brother, and funny, Steve, I think I read that in the Bible someplace, is against brother. And they are trying to sue one another. And, you know, forget the part that says, you know, not to air your laundry in front of them. I'm paraphrasing, obviously, in front of the world, right? But the point is that there is this going on today. And so why is it going on? Why? Okay, part of it is the fact that we're in a war. If you've seen any, if you've either been in a war, and I'm actually a veteran, I never saw action like that. I was a veteran way back during the Cold War, but, if you've seen action, you know that the enemy, gee, they shoot at you, right? They fire bullets at you. So you're going to take flak. You're going to take fire, right? So we are in a time when there's this huge amount of enemy fire coming at us, right? So if you're not seeking the Lord, and I sound like a beating drum, right? It's just the same thing over and over again. But if you're not seeking the Lord daily, if you're not in His Word daily, then how are you going to resist that fire? You could, you know, if you were in a desert, how long could you last without water and food, right? You could probably last longer without food than you can water. But the point is that you need sustenance, and a relationship with the Lord is that sustenance. So as the gates of hell are opening, and all of this ugly stuff is coming from both Christians and non-Christian at the believer, if you're not seeking Him, if you're not talking to Him, then how are you going to survive? You know, you said something very interesting, Steve. You know, the Word says that God would write His Word on our minds and in our hearts. And there's never been a time in history when you needed that like you do now. You need that now more than ever. Because midnight is striking, and the demonic influence all over the world is rising, is building. I'm looking. I don't know Russ, but I'm looking forward to seeing Russ Dizdar at Branson. So the point is that he would tell you, if he were here, that is exactly the case. People that are intercessors, will tell you that the Romy Zaret, a good friend of yours, friend of mine, would tell you that the war in heaven is raging, and that war is coming here physically, right? It is spiritually already, but it's physically coming here as well. So you have all of this stuff happening, and the point is, if you're not walking, if you're not in his word, if you're not repenting, if you're not choosing Jesus over all this other stuff, how are you going to fight back? I mean, that's just the bottom line. You know, and I haven't even told you this, Steve, but it's one of the things I wanted to share to you today is I actually decided what the dedication page, you know, the dedication page on a book is, right? I actually decided what the dedication page is going to be for Midnight Strikes. It's going to say, for my grandson, Lucas, he's 9 months old, that is. For my grandson, Lucas, I hope I'm wrong. But audience, I'm not wrong. Steve's not wrong. Why? Because it's not our message. Midnight is striking. It is that serious. Steve, you know, the funny thing is, I looked at the headlines this morning, and in that book, you know, we addressed many things. And it's interesting to me how many of those things are actually issues that you're going to be talking about, that we're going to be talking about at Branson. And you and I had a discussion right after, and I don't think you'd mind me sharing this with people. We had a discussion right after Branson last year. And I told you, Steve, I don't know if we're going to make it to Branson this year. And that's when, you know, the whole impeachment thing was running and civil war talk was running high. Now, I think you're absolutely right. I think by switching it, and you did it for other logistical reasons, but if you would have left it in September, I don't think we would have made it. I think there was the influence of the Holy Spirit saying, hey, you need him, and he showed you something else, but and caused you to move it, but because you're led by the Lord. This is the point, audience, right? It's not all the time. Steve doesn't run around throughout the day going, you know, hearing Steve do this, right? That's not how God works, right? There's this still small voice of this influence in your life, and you operate based upon those things. And so because of logistics, right, Steve moved it to July when he moved it to. And I dare say, Steve, that if you didn't move it, we probably wouldn't have made it there.
Yep. And again, Doug, you know, just like none of us know the headlines tomorrow. We know what will be contained in the headlines of, let's say, certain events transpiring. But if people no longer have a foundation for truth, and you know this, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? When the wicked rule, the righteous mourn. But also, why should the righteous stay silent if their silence is just basically sharpening up the guillotines? One of the perplexing problems with me is I understand that the pulpits, one of the great evangelists, either Finney or I forget who it was, but they said this, when America dies and truth dies in America, it will be because it died in the pulpit. And that's true. And I call them the puke pits. And to any man of God or woman that preaches the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ in its biblical context, I bless you for this. But to the hirelings and to the wolves in sheep drag, since we're talking about, you know, every alphabetical combination of the world, let's call it now WISD. That's wolves in sheep drag, okay? That's a contemporary term. But the wolves have eaten away at the very character, the very foundation, the very finances. Doug, I said this years ago. When people, famous guys who go on TV, the ones that, you know, have $300 and $400 million budgets a year and keep spewing against those of us who are saying to the people of God, you know, it's biblical. Noah did it. You know, it's biblically. Joseph did it to prepare. You know, the woman who sent her little son out to hear Jesus on Sermon on the Mount with the loaves of bread and fishes, she was the ultimate prepper because she anticipated something beyond her control. And see, this is a whole issue that she might have to take care of her son even in that point. I believe God is doing the same thing to us. And I believe that I want to say this. I'm blessed because Jesus, the premise, the promise. I'm getting emails, and I do, from all over the world saying, but this isn't the Jesus I know about. My pastor never talks to me about this. He's different. Yeah, it's because it's an accurate portrayal. And I want to read something. How can God's remnant live and overcome when so many people in the world seem to be losing their minds? Jesus, the premise of promise, provides 10 helps that allow you to live victoriously during the last days. And ladies and gentlemen, people are teaching, but I learned a valuable lesson. The valuable lesson is this, is that people should pay more attention to the words of Jesus than the people against him with their words. Okay? People will pay more attention to that. And listen, I got to tell you something. If they accused Jesus, and the Lord spoke this to me once, he said, if they accuse me of having a demon, Steve, what makes you think they're not going to do the same to you? If they hated me without a cause, they're going to hate you without a cause. You see, Doug, that's where our thinking as Christians, I think, is stinking. We forget that friendship with the world is enmity, and that word enmity is war. So when I see the cover, and Greg Semkow did a beautiful job on the cover of Daniel's book, The Holdings and Quail Interviews, Midnight Strikes, Judgment Unleashed. By the way, the final cover has his name down the right-hand corner. You've got earthquakes. You've got the moon turning to blood on the cover. You've got asteroids incoming. Thank you for putting it up. You've got literally water running over into the crevasse that's created. And now everything that's in motion. Let me say this. Imagine the Lord today. Let's say he would just break in. I'm just saying this. And imagine Jesus would show up on the screen, not me, not Daniel Holdings, not Doug Hagman, and say, I've told you all these things. Why won't you believe me? Or what would happen if he came into the fellowships and say, he's not real, there's no such thing as a virgin birth, and begins to walk the aisles and start healing people? Well, remember, ladies and gentlemen, the context of Jesus' presence physically on earth, that's what he was up against. But the only way he overcome was when saying he had bread that the disciples knew not of. And that was the life-sustaining force, his life-sustaining force of the power of the living God. And, you know, one of the things, and I'll do this at some other date, but the point is that we run through in chapter 8 all of the attributes of God. And when you start just meditating on them, let me just give you a good example, Doug. And I'm reading him. He is the Almighty, Genesis 17:1. The Everlasting God, Genesis 21:33. I don't expect people to write this down. He is our all in all. His name is Faithful and True. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is our foundation. He's the Ancient of Days, a fountain of living water. He's the Anointed One. He's our friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. Some people forget that. He's not our enemy. He's our friend. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's a gift of God. He's the beginning and the end. He is a God over all. He's the bread of life. He's the head of the body. He's our bridegroom, the head of the called out ones. He's the bright morning star. He is the Holy One of Israel, the captain of the Lord's host. That means he is the captain of the Lord's army. Do you think Jesus is coming back as a lamb the second time? You're wrong. He's our blessed hope, the second coming. The chosen one. He's the great I am. The Christ, the anointed one. He is Jehovah. He's the son of the living God. He's Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords. And he is the light of the world. That's just one of the lists. It's the back of this. I promise you this, you guys. I am sold out. Somebody said to me, what's your passion? I said, Jesus. Well, he said, but you're a filmmaker and you're all that stuff. I said, you asked me the question, what's your passion? My passion is Jesus. And only because of this, God's answer for perilous times. Psalm 46:1. I got this all over the place. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in the times of trouble. I don't know, Doug, if you thought it was going to go down the other night when the bombers were in the air and everything and everybody's praying. I don't know how you felt, Daniel, but you know what? I felt, well, Lord, if this is it, then I commit my spirit into your hands, okay? Through the night, I stayed up all night, and I was tempted to put up all these alerts, but the Holy Spirit checked me. I said, Lord, is this it? He said, it's not yet time. I also asked him, I've been saying this all the way through, will Branson happen? And God said, absolutely, it will happen. because the equipping of the saints, I don't think people understand this, the fivefold ministry is to equip the saints. And Daniel, you know this, we're sending people into war, and the war is coming to them. I take that statement back. The war that's in heaven, that's coming to earth, is coming to their front door. They have to learn to fight with the weapons that God has given us. You want to deal with that? Because the spiritual warfare nature of what we're up against, I still think there are political pragmatists that think somehow, you know, they can cast out a demon and go out in the name of the Republican Party, you know? I'm trying to be facetious there, but the point is that they don't understand the power of God, nor do they recognize the power of sin that is controlling the media, controlling everything we see, the banking. The whole world lies in the evil one. So go ahead, Daniel. Take it as long as you want it.
You know, there's so much there to talk about, and I'm trying to be sensitive to the Lord right now. One of the things that we need to understand is that we live in a 3D world. We live in a physical world. I mean, we have flesh and bones and blood. We live here, right? And so because we live here, Steve and Doug, oftentimes what happens is we get distracted from the fact that we're not from here, right? And this is not where we will be, you know, when we're gone, right? We are, it's been said that we are spiritual beings living a physical experience, right? So we forget that this is not our home. Jesus said, you're not of this world. But we get so wrapped up in the things of this world, in the Republicans, the Democrats, and Iran, and all this other stuff, that we forget that there is something broader than this. There's something bigger than this. And if all you are doing is reading Drudge or Steve Quayle or listening to Doug Hagman, and all those things are great, right? Or if you're listening to your party's platform, or if you're, reading Newsweek or whatever it is that you are watching, CNN or Fox News, whatever it is that you think is a good source for your news, you're only getting physical stuff. Okay. You're only getting 3D stuff. And if the supernatural is affecting everything else, where are you getting your supernatural information? Where are you getting your supernatural power? There's only one source, right? There are other references that can help you, but the main source, the primary source that you need to go to is the Word of God, the Bible, okay? And unless we are in the Word, and unless we are listening to the Holy Spirit, who can make, the Word says that He makes that Word alive in us, and He gives us what we need at the time that we need it, unless you are reading His Word and walking with Him, listening to the Holy Spirit, then all you're doing is dealing with physical stuff with other physical stuff. You're dealing with, I'm going to say it again, you're dealing with physical stuff with other physical stuff, not supernatural stuff. The Bible is alive. The Word is alive. It says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? Now, when we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, He puts that Word in our hearts and on our minds, right? He puts that living Word, it's called, inside of us. And unless we deal with these issues, not with physical information, not with physical weapons, but unless we deal with these issues with supernatural weapons outside of this 3D realm, then we are just fodder for all the demons and the enemies, right? That's not to say that we don't take physical steps, right? Prepping, you mentioned prepping, that's a great thing. You mentioned the fact that, you know, if you're a guy on the front line, you're going to war, that's a very physical thing, right? And even in those things, though, you could be led by the Spirit, right? You can look to the Word for guidance, right? Even in those things. And in the midst, well, let me back up. In the midst of war, in the midst of battle, you don't have time to go into the Word and open your Bible and somebody shoot at you. You got a job to do. You go back and you do what you need to do. So you do that before. You take preparation. You're talking about preparation. You take preparation. You get in the Word. You fast. You pray and you get on your face and repent. And you have the Lord inside of you before you get to the front line. Same thing with prepping. You have the Lord guiding you, directing you before you, you put one thing on yourself. Now, you know, here's the crazy thing. We live in this physical world, but these physical things have a direct effect on our lives. And if we're not careful, we let them, overcome the supernatural part of us. Does that make sense, Steve?
Sure. In essence, the carnal man takes over the spiritual man. And trying to keep the carnal man, I mean, you know, I know there are people that claim they're perfect. I'm not. I know there are people that claim they walk in the spirit 100% of the time. I'm not. But here's the thing. I know this, as my focus is upon the Lord, the very kingdom of God is within. As the kingdom of God is within, it will emanate out. It's just like, again, you know, Doug. It's just like the Bible says, shall not the judge of the whole earth do right? That's God himself. People aren't even smart enough to know that you don't go into a vineyard if you like wine, and you don't go there. You don't go to a vegetable garden to get a good vintage of wine. You don't go copy. You know, hey, I got to do this with the comment on your copy. And you're going to say this, since life is such a grind, enjoy the smoothness of our coffee, okay?
You need to make him the marketing guy, Doug.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, but the thing is that we need to realize that, you know, judge not lest you be judged. That means sentence not. But you and I, sir, and I pray you've been spared this, we have been judged. We have been executed. You know, this is the thing about gossip and slander. They pull the trigger on you. You can't defend yourself against non-objective charges. And then people say, well, if you were really a Christian, and you can't enforce Matthew 18 if they won't enforce it, yet they're the ones that claim that they've got the high ground. You know, at the end of the day, Daniel Holdings, when he stands before the Lord, his love for Jesus and what he did out of that love for Jesus by the Holy Spirit is what's going to count. When I stand before Jesus, it'll be the same thing. And when you do, Doug, it'll be the same thing. So I don't think that people really get the serious nature of life. When you go to hell, there is no get out of hell free card. Whether you believe there's a hell or not, it's interesting. This is what's astonishing to me. The people that are turning to the occult and to Satanism and witchcraft and everything, they know there's a hell, but yet they believe because of the distortion and the fiction that basically it's a perpetual party of, you know, drinking beer on the beach with babes or whatever they imagine heaven to be. You know, one giant rock concert forever. I said, let's hope the guy doesn't break a string on his guitar. The point is that there is no fear of God in the land. There is no fear. There is no reference. And I want to say this again. Just as the Christians who are really called by the name of the Lord, who are bought by his precious blood, who are praying, who know if their life ends in an instant that they're with the Lord Jesus, understand this, that there are those who are nominal. There's only two types of believers in the end time, you guys, and I believe this is, take it to the Lord. There's nominal believers and they're phenomenal believers, okay? The phenomenal believers, that will be their ministries, their lives, their callings, and God's signature will be by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. So there's a good word. Do you want to be nominal, as in denominal, denomination, or do you want to be phenomenal, as in the King of Glory? I tell people, everybody's ordinary. It's God who's extraordinary. And it's our obedience to the extraordinariness of God that gives us our effectiveness on earth. How many times have any of you said, Lord, I just don't know which way to turn, you know? And I can tell you this, I used to tell the joke, you know, it's a good thing that I didn't have rooms with eight walls because evidently I bounced off four and didn't change, so eight wouldn't help. It'd just be a double. It would be called the Elisha wall syndrome. Elisha. Anyway, the point is that we want people to understand this, that today it doesn't matter how much. All it matters is this. It's not your position in life. It's the position of your heart. As you relate, respond, and pray about this message, see, I believe, Daniel, and I do, I believe, Doug, you are the base, if you will, Doug Hagman. Daniel and I, it takes, you know, to support the motion picture camera of life. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, he who created light, he who created the eye and the ear, he sees and hears. And if you understand your DNA is the ultimate storage medium, then you can understand how every word you've ever said, that frightens me, that I've ever said, everything we've ever done, it'll all be pictured instantly. And God doesn't have to have a start button on his remote and a finish button. It's known instantly. So I would encourage everybody to understand this. Well, we can't determine the outcome. We can determine who takes us through life, and therein lies the word overcomer, which is a word that's never preached anymore, because instead of overcomers, we've got succumbers. A succumber means to yield to the spirit of the age, public opinion. You want to be liked. Do you want to be liked by the people that want to rape your children? Do you want to be liked by the person that dresses up as the hell queen or the drag queen from hell? Do you want to be raped by people that have more tattoos, piercings, horns, teeth sharpening, tongue split? Is that what you want your child to learn? And I think, Daniel, commendations on that. I would say this. This is a generation that not only forgot God, they forgot their grandchildren also. Go ahead, sir.
You know, actually, what you just said, I was sitting here listening to the Lord, and I really, audience, I need you to hear me, okay? We were walking into a time, and we are now there. A time, so let me put it in a biblical vernacular that you will understand. A time is coming, and now is, that distraction will be the key of the word of the day. You and I are faced with distractions everywhere we go. If you want to walk with the Lord, what does the enemy try to do? He tries to distract you from walking with the Lord. If you are going through a difficult time, like Doug and Steve, as they're going through these lawsuits, they are being distracted from those things that God wants to do with them and is trying to do with them. And listen, it's understandable. You know, if your kid is sick, if you're out of work, if you can't pay your bills, if you're having marital issues, whatever the case may be, these are distractions, right? All of those, and I'm not saying that they're not important and that they're not heavy, okay? But if you focus on the Lord and listen for his voice, you will be, as Steve said, an overcomer, because you'll be able to hear his voice when he says go to the right or go to the left. And the problem today is that we take things into our own hands. We will take our issues in our own hands. We'll, you know, it's a money issue. We'll change jobs or we'll go someplace else. I'm not saying that that's not what people should do from time to time. But the point is that we don't even seek God's counsel. We don't even seek his advice. We take matters into our own hands because of this distraction and we, you know, do whatever we think is important. The idea of walking by the Spirit or walking with the Lord is being able to look straight ahead. You know, when they put blinders on a horse, I forget what those blinders are called, that's pulling a cart, they put them there so the horse isn't distracted, right? So all he can look at is straight ahead. And this is what we need to do as believers. There are all these distractions that the enemy would try to throw at you. Lawsuits or family issues or job issues or financial, whatever the case may be. You need to put up the blinders, right? And let the Lord lead you where he would lead you. And he, through you communing with him, for you talking with him, for you being able to have this two-way conversation, you know, Paul said, I speak to the Lord daily, right? I speak to the Lord consistently, right? And Steve and I have talked about this last time that we were on. If you are doing that, then he will be able to take you in the direction that you need to go, regardless of the distractions. You will be blessed because he always does the things that he needs to do for our benefit, but they will also meet his needs as well, the things that he wants to accomplish as well. And this is really important, audience, because one day, as Steve said, you and I are going to have to stand before the Lord. Now, how many times have you heard this sermon preached, right? That the Lord will look at some people who prophesied in his name, who pastored, who taught Sunday school, who helped the little old lady across the street, who did everything that they needed to do. And he'll look at them and say, depart from me. I never knew you. And how does that happen? Because we are doing things. We are doing physical things. And I'm not saying that those things are bad, right? But are they his things? So here's the point. Are we his, right? Are we listening to him? Are we walking with him? We are coming to an age, as midnight is striking, when there are tons of distractions. Puerto Rico, half of the island may fall into the ocean. That could mean a tsunami on the East Coast. Iran, they just bombed one of our bases. And we could actually have World War III. The World Bank just declared that there's a debt crisis, and we know this if you've been following this kind of thing. And the world economy is actually, whether you know it or not, teetering on destruction. This is why they're pumping, the Fed is pumping all this money because of the debt crisis, the overnight rate. So we have all of these things going on, right? And they're just the distractions, right? What is the one thing that matters? Look, I love my grandson, Lucas. I just told you, I'm dedicating the book to him. I love my wife, my daughter, my son-in-law. I love them. I love these guys, right? I have things that are important to me in my life, just as you do. None of those things are more important than the Lord. So whatever the distraction is on it, whatever it is, this is what you need to do. You need to give it to the Lord. Well, Daniel, I don't know how to do that. Well, first of all, you have to have a conversation with him. Right? You have to talk to him about it. And rather than sticking out your hand and saying, Lord, help me, or give me, repent, right? Wait a minute, I didn't do anything wrong. But we've all done something wrong, right? We all have room to repent. And then fellowship with him. Take time to stay in his presence without any other distraction. Maybe it's with music, whatever the case may be, but stay and force yourself to stay in his presence. And then listen to the Holy Spirit. Right? There's some of you that wear the label of Christian, but you've never actually heard the voice of the Lord. You're just, you've joined a club, right? And I'm not degrading you, I'm not downing you. I get it, okay? Because I talked about a woodshed moment. I've had my own woodshed moment in life. Right? And the Lord's really got my attention, right? So I've learned to pay attention to him. But if you don't know his voice and you don't know the leading of his Holy Spirit, you need to question your relationship with him. Not because being baptized in the Holy Spirit makes you more holy than the other. No, no, no. It is a mechanism by which we can walk with the Lord. But he gave his Holy Spirit to us for our benefit. That's not about him. It doesn't help him. It's for us so that we can walk with him. So the day, Stephen Doug, that we stand before him and he looks at us, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my kingdom. Enter into my presence. That's what I want to hear.
And you know, if I can just interject one thing, that scares me. All right. Maybe that's not the correct terminology to use, but of all things that I think about, that moment in time or space time or that transcends space time, that is the only moment, only point that matters to me. And is that the way you look at it?
Well, it really is. And to my friend Steve Quayle, you know, I've actually told the Lord this because I know Steve well and we've had this conversation. When he stood before the Lord, not the first time, but when the Lord called him on the carpet in front of the alabaster bench, the Bema seat judgment, and he said to him, Steve, and I'm paraphrasing again, why haven't you done anything with all the stuff I've given you? And the only thing, what's he going to say? I'm sorry, Lord. Please forgive me. Give me another chance. And then God gave him another chance, right? I've told the Lord because of that story. I've told the Lord on numerous occasions, Lord, I don't need to see you, right? I will do what you tell me to do regardless, right? So, because look, when I see him, you know, I've only heard stories about the way I've been in his presence, right? As far as worship goes, and I know the weight that I felt there. I know the things that I've seen there. I've heard the things that I've heard there, but I've never been in his physical presence like Steve Quayle, right? And I've determined that I will be obedient without that. I don't need that. And the day that I do stand before him, Doug, I better have been obedient because this was my promise to him. And see, Daniel Holdings isn't any different than you, audience. Whatever your name may be, John, Joe, Mary, Jack, whatever it is, God is no respecter of persons, right? He looks to Steve Quayle, Daniel Holdings, Doug Hagman the very same way. We are all going to have to stand before him one day. And because of that, your fear, Doug, your concern, it's more of a concern than a fear, I guess.
Right.
My concern is to be able to stand before him and do and say exactly what I need to say on this side of that veil, right, so that I am obedient in those things that he's given me to be. Now, audience, you may not be called to write a book or to preach at a church or teach Sunday school. No, but he has called you to something. He has given you directions for something. And again, to my earlier point, if you've never heard his voice and you can't hear direction, you're just kind of wandering around, you know, feeding off physical things, and you need to spend time with him. You need to repent. You need to make sure that you are fellowshipping with him. You need to make sure that you're filled with his Holy Spirit. And that then you can hear his voice, and then you can do it accordingly. Because, Steve, I mean, you've been there. You know, maybe you want to tell people standing before him is not all it's cracked up to be.
Well, again, you know, in my case, and look, I came from the gutter. I had no Christian experience. I had, I was just a horrible person. But one thing I know, that it's one thing to stand before the Lord and have him give you the vision that he gave me, he baptized me in the Holy Spirit. I knew nothing about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Told me I would have Joseph's ministry. Told me if I'd be faithful to warn his people, he'd bring the people to me to tell me what I need to know. And that's been, you know this, Daniel, from all the hours that we've had. He's been faithful to that. But it really hits home when you stand before your Savior and he simply asks you, why with what I've given you have you done so little? And all I could do is bow my head and basically say, forgive me, Lord, give me another chance. And people say, well, you are probably going to die, because I was going at an excessively high rate of speed. In those days, I guess the old Sammy Hagar tune really meant a lot to me when I can't drive 55. I felt, I'm not bragging, but I felt 55 was, it should be multiplied by a minimum of 2 times, if not 2.5 times. And I always went wild with crazy cars. And so now I'm crazy about cars, but the wildness is gone. And the reason I just want to share something. The reason that I'm trying to get people to realize the love I felt when I looked in the eyes of Jesus, there's no way to define it. Every cell in your body, if you will, all the essence, the atomic substructure, everything and anything from molecules to what we're made of, even on stuff we don't even understand necessarily, but it rejoiced in the presence of God. And by the way, Daniel, all over the world now, we're hearing volcanoes have a song. The magma has its own song. I just put up a thing, the deserts are singing, you know? People are hearing ringing. The flowers have their own song. The stars have their own song. I believe that is, if you will, and I can't decipher it, but I believe that is the grand echoing of them all claiming, open your ears, open your eyes, because we're longing for the manifestation of the sons of God, Romans that I just read, 8, for the people of God to take their position, because then we, whether it's the desert sand, whether it's the oceans that roar, all creation is that was subject to sin gets freed at the same time. It's just like all the cool stories of animals, you know, they're coming out, even caring for their others. We butcher our babies, the elephants will go over cliffs to save theirs. We absolutely are carnivores, and yet you're seeing trans species actually embracing and love. Listen, this is something that's interesting to me. All of creation is not only groaning and travailing, but even the hearts of those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb are getting hungrier for the presence of the King. And I want you to know something. that, you know, no matter what age you are, I know 6 and 8 year olds that are ready to meet Jesus. They're longing for his appearing. What does the word longing mean? You look forward to it. I tell people, the righteous will be like this. Oh, hallelujah. Not like this. That's pushing it away. Oh, yes, like this. And the damned will be like this. The damned will be like that. Save us from him. Save us from him. They'll go to the rocks. They'll call on the rocks to hide him from the glory of the Lord. And so as lightning comes from the east to the west, I'm telling you what, there is going to be such a, how do I say this, a transformational interchange that it will, there's nothing that we can liken it to. And only as we get our redeemed bodies at that time, you know, we'll be able to relate, understand. And it's so, and this is something too I want to share. I used to ask the Lord, God, why are you giving everybody a white stone with a name that no man knows except the, or the woman that, except they that receive it? And he said, Steve, because character, design, purpose, and future is all in that stone. I don't know if that means it's a crystal composite, but in essence, that's the ultimate identity. You not only know who you are, you not only know who God is, you know what you were redeemed for. Paul even said, I might comprehend that for which I was apprehended. I've asked the Lord, why'd you save me? I've said this to the Lord. I said, I wouldn't give you 5 cents. And God said, I gave you my son. That puts you into the right context. This is something I don't think people understand, Doug, and again, Daniel, is I'm just looking at time here. The importance of Jesus, the excellence of Jesus, the, if you will, the supremacy of Jesus. Yet he calls me a friend. I've told everybody this, Dan. You've heard me say it. Doug, you've heard me say it many times. The fact that the Son of God, who Colossians 1:16 and 17 says, created it all, and in him and by him do all things exist. They consist by him. And he calls me his friend. And my deal was, and everybody could say this, boy, God, you're giving us the best end of that deal, you know? I mean, you call me friend, and I say, hey, I said, Lord, you're calling us your friends. I mean, I know what that means. And he said, no greater love than this friend will lay down his life for us. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to encourage you to simply say, if you don't know Jesus, if you're backsliding, say, Lord, forgive me for backsliding. If you're doing what you know you shouldn't do, and believe me, you all know it, I knew it, then say, God, forgive me of my whatever, my fornication, my shacking up. Forgive me, God, and cleanse me from that, because you don't want any sin in your life. I don't want any money. In my case, Lord, help me get control of my tongue. Your word says no man can control the tongue except the Holy Ghost. So we all have the issues. But the number one issue, Doug and Daniel, and I believe Midnight Strikes, Judgment Unleashed will do this. I believe it is a roadmap to a fear-free future. There you go. Fear-free future.
And I told that. You.
Yeah. And that's why we're doing what we're doing. And Daniel Holdings, and like I said, he has done an excellent job. Not because it's me. The issue is this. The messenger is not the critical factor. It is the message that is critical. It is the word of God. If God's word isn't anointed, then I'm just tinkling cymbals, you know, or you know, gonging brass. But the deal is that there is an authority. When a man has the anointing of God and the signature of God in his life, then God backs up his word. Because you know this, Daniel and Doug, this is the last thing I'll say. God is jealous over his word to perform it. Daniel Holdings, thank you.
Steve, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
And Daniel, you've done just a marvelous job with Midnight Strikes. In all of your books, by the way, Danielholdings.com, Danielholdings.com. There you can look at the various projects, including your own books, the Cooper Chronicles, as a matter of fact. Tremendous books, Daniel. Thank you for writing those, and thank you for writing this, and thank you for working with Steve. And Steve, thank you for spending all of the time that you did. And Dan, you too. I appreciate it. I really do.
Thank you, Doug.
Dan, goodbye, Doug. God bless you, Daniel.
All right, folks, that'll do it for us. God bless each and every one of you. I just want to say thank you again. Two very talented men, Steve Quayle and Daniel Holdings. Wow. A lot of great information there. Certainly an interesting time in which we find ourselves. Don't forget Hagman Store for the coffee. HagmanStore.com, HagmanStore.com. Grab yourself a cup of coffee. Tell you what, it's great coffee. Until tomorrow, may God bless.